I have chosen a lesson that I think goes along with the previous lesson, talking about being perfected. This idea comes from Hebrews, the 5th chapter. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, at verse 9. Hebrews 5, 9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. What is the meaning of this word perfect? Perfect, in the Bible sense, can mean complete, finished. It's this idea that something is made whole, like two halves coming together make a whole. That's that idea of being made complete or finished. Jesus, it tells us in Hebrews 5, was made perfect through suffering. That concept is kind of hard to understand, isn't it? Jesus, who is put on a cross, is made complete, adding to its suffering. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He brings many sons to glory through the perfection of his suffering. Hebrews 5, verse 8 says, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." He completed or fulfilled God's plan for him as our Savior by suffering for us. Suffering, we learn, can bring about in us obedience. It teaches us what obedience was like for Christ through suffering. Now, we don't suffer the same things Jesus endured on that cross, but thanks be to God that our sins are nailed to that cross, and that by his suffering, he has taken away our sins and replaced it with his perfection, his completeness. His suffering makes us complete. His suffering makes us whole again. By taking away the sin, the bad, and replacing it with the good, the love of God, obeying his commandments, are what makes us good, what makes us whole again. Perfect can also have the meaning of one who is mature, one who has grown up spiritually. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, the Apostle Paul speaks to as many as be perfect. The New King James Translation translates this phrase, "as many as are mature." Paul wrote the letter of Philippians to men and women who had become mature in their faith, who had been made perfect, as it were, by their faith. Those who had grown up spiritually. In verse 9, we read that though Jesus, being the Son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the author of our eternal salvation to all who obey him. If you want to grow up in the gospel, if you want to become mature in your faith, you must recognize Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith, what will make you complete, what will make you whole, is recognizing Jesus as the author, the finisher of your faith and my faith. 1 John verse 4, verse 12 adds this: if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Loving one another, helping one another, showing love and respect and obedience to God, showing that love by obeying His commandments. By these things, God's love is perfected in us. You see, God wants to make us whole. He wants us to be complete. To do so requires that element of love, that element that you empathize, that you have mercy, that you look for ways to help others, that you seek out the lost and teach them, that you show others around you the love of Christ. It will transform you. It will transform them, your family, your friends, your relatives, the people you come in contact at work or at school. They will see the love that's embedded in the fiber of your soul. And by this, God has perfected you. You see, it takes constant diligence to show that kind of love. That's that constant perfecting of God's love inside of you. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3 adds this: by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We studied that this morning in the high school class, and you in the auditorium have also studied 1 John 5 and talked about this verse. If it becomes a habit to obey God, if it is something that you love and adore to teach, to show Christ's example, it no longer is burdensome. It's a pleasure. It's a treat. It's something you enjoy doing. What is right, what is good, what is wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is just. These things are not burdensome. They're things that we love to do. They become a joy to us as Christians to uphold and keep God's commandments. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus contrasts His teaching with that of the Old Testament law in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39, which is quoted below. It says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow, do not turn away." This description is contrasted with the teaching of the Old Testament, a long list of rules that they had to keep. And they felt justified by keeping all those 600 and some odd rules. There's so many, I can't even count them. Over 670, I think. Jesus says, no, this New Testament is much different. It's all about love. It's all about helping each other. If someone mistreats you, don't seek revenge. This isn't about eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's not about that at all. If someone slaps you on the cheek, the attitude and the spirit of love is not to retaliate, not even to be angry, not even to seek revenge, but to teach that person by showing them love. Turn to them the other cheek Not this attitude of going after them or trying to get at them. A lot of times when people persecute us or spitefully use us in this world, our first inclination is to seek revenge or to strike out at them out of anger or out of malice toward them. You've mistreated me even though I am a Christian. No, Christ says, turn the other cheek. It's not worth it. Show them love. Try to teach them what Christ would do. Christ would turn the other cheek. Christ would say to those nailing him up to that cross, his hands and his feet as they're hammering and driving the nails in, Father, please forgive them. That's turning the other cheek. That's the example we need of love in our lives. That will perfect you. That will cause you to mature in your faith. And all of these other examples, if anyone sues you, don't resist. Make peace with them. Let them have your cloak also. It's just stuff. It's just money. It's not going to save you anyways. Let them have it. And instead, teach them, more important to teach them about love and respect of property. What about those who compel you to do stuff? You will do this. You will do that. You say, I don't want to do that. I want to resist. Jesus says, don't resist. Go with him the extra mile, or the second mile, depending on what your translation says. Go with him too. That willingness to serve, that willingness to obey, that willingness to show your masters in this world, in your jobs, in your schools, in your homes, show your masters and your teachers love and respect, and the love of God will dwell in you for eternity in heaven. Because that's your eternal reward, isn't it? Give of him who asks you. From him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Help them. You know, we're surrounded in this world by people in need, both spiritually and physically. Many of us are blessed well beyond anything we could ever use or consume. Share what you have. If you don't learn anything else this morning, learn that loving others is giving. Learn that teaching others is giving first of yourself, your time, your patience, and the most precious gift that you have, the hope of heaven, their eternal salvation, the most precious gift of all. Matthew 5, verses 44 through 45, he teaches us that to love our enemies is not an easy thing to do. We are to do this that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. God acts with concern and love for all men. If we act like our Heavenly Father, we will act with positive goodwill toward those who are evil or to those who are good. You see, even the evil love those who love them, but Christ is different. His love perfected in us is to love those who even spitefully use us. Even those who are evil, we have to love them. That's a different type of love. It's something that wasn't taught in the Old Testament. This idea that we as Christians love those who are evil, love those who persecute us, love the type of love that Jesus had to those who nailed him to a cross. Because my sins put Jesus on that cross. Your sins put the nails in his hands, putting him on that cross. Your sins and my sins, we are the evil ones. Christ first loved us, even though we were evil, even though we were in sin. But Christ still died for the ungodly, you and I. So we also must take that type of love and perfect it in our lives. To love those who persecute us. Love those who hate Jesus Christ. Love those who deny the truth. Teach them. It transformed all of Rome. You see, Rome at one point was crucifying every single Christian. They would line the roadways and light the Christians on fire that were crucified so that it brightened the whole city. Jesus said, "You'll become a light on a hill." But I don't think that's what he meant. You'll become a light on a hill because of your faith. You'll become a light on a hill because of the love of Jesus Christ perfected in you. Now all of Rome changed. They stopped crucifying Christians. I'm not saying that they were perfect, but it's the power of God that changed them. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For it is the power of the gospel. It is the power of God that works through you to bring the gospel. And it starts with love, compassion towards all men. If we only love those who love us, but do not love our enemies, we are really no better than the evil men. For even evil people are capable of loving those who love them. Matthew 5, 44 through 46. But I say to you, Jesus, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Now in those days, the tax collectors were evil. Okay, so let's be clear. They would exact more taxes than what they were supposed to under the law. Okay, so now you get the idea. They were mistreated by their taxes. Can't believe taxes would do that. And the Jews, they did not like paying taxes to Rome. Let's be clear on that. They felt like they were supporting a government that was against God and obviously against their faith. But he's saying, you know, you listen. You Jew, you Christian, you listen. You change your heart. If you want love perfected in you, if you want to be mature in your faith, if you want to be grown up in your spirituality, God calls you to do all of these things. And yes, he's calling to you. He's calling to me and he's calling to you. Do these things. My love is waiting to be perfected in you. You can do this. You are more than capable of accomplishing all of these things. Praying for those who treat you with evil and disrespect. For even God rains down his sunshine, as Mike spoke about, what a beautiful day it is outside. Even God rains down his sunshine on the just and the unjust. Even God brings his life-giving rains on the just and the unjust. Even God blesses those who are evil, even though they don't deserve it. God still blesses us, even though we don't deserve it. When Jesus said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," in Matthew 5, verse 48, he was saying, "Let your love be complete in God's love." God loves all people, even the evil ones. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What a great kind of love. What a wonderful concept that is. The absolute essence of love itself. The absolute perfection in this idea and concept of love for God is love. 1 John tells us that. Three of the most powerful words, I think, in the New Testament. God is love. This is how we can be perfect as God. Our love for our fellow man needs to grow. It needs to mature, including loving your enemies. If we do not love our enemies, we are not acting as sons of God ought to act. Pardon my spelling there. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. How many of you here this morning are sons or daughters? Every one of us, right? How many of you love and respect your parents? Hoping every one of us. God is our Father. He's our spiritual Father. Jesus is the author of our eternal salvation. So in that sense, we grow up as brothers and sisters of Christ. Because God is our Father, and God the Father and God the Son. You get the concept. We are to love God our Father like we love and respect our earthly parents. It's a pretty easy concept for most of us to do. By taking note of the context in which this passage is found, his example is in the realm of attitudes toward our fellow man. The Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We've been through some pretty treacherous times in this congregation. We've had some that we feel perhaps wronged us, or perhaps we wronged them. Let's be clear. We are to love those who mistreat us. We are to forgive with our hearts. Because if we do forgive them, and they forgive us, we are reconciled as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what God expects from us, to be tender-hearted and forgiving, just as Christ forgives us. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Not a single person here this morning is perfect, including myself. Not perfect. But God can complete you. He can cause you to grow up and be mature in your faith, in your love, and in your forgiveness. If we don't learn how to forgive one another, it will tear this church apart. It will rip apart Christ's church and his teaching. This concept, I can't express how important it is to forgive. I can't express how important it is to be tender-hearted, compassionate. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. We've made mistakes. Let's all be reconciled as loving Christians, showing love and respect to one another, knowing that we can grow together, we can mature together, we can help one another to be more mature in our faith and in our Christianity. I'm not calling on you to do anything more than Jesus Christ calls on you and I to do. And all brothers and sisters that I've left here, the same thing applies. This passage plainly teaches that our attitudes toward other people must be the same as those of in our Father in heaven. If your father, your earthly father and your earthly mother know how to treat you with respect, treat you with love. That's your teacher. God our Father in heaven is also your teacher. He shows you love. He shows you respect. He's saying you need to in turn and in kind forgive, love. If not, we have no right to claim to be his children. We are wasting our time, and our worship, our faith is in vain. Be perfect, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. But as he called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This text impresses upon us the necessity of conforming our lives to the qualities and standards of God's divinity. Holy conduct arises from holy attitudes. If we were going to conduct ourselves in a proper manner toward our fellow man and fellow Christians, we must have the proper attitudes to love even our enemies. We must heed the command of our Savior given in Matthew 5, verse 48, to be perfect. That's a concept you strive for. It takes work. It takes a lot of determination. You see, none of you, including myself, have ever learned something overnight. Your occupation, rearing up children, maybe teaching children, that didn't just happen in a moment. It didn't just happen overnight. You had to work at it. You had to be determined in purpose to love and to rear up those children, to learn that job or that occupation. It took years and months of teaching, months and years of practice and experience to obtain those things, to obtain mastery in your job, to obtain mastery as a parent or perhaps as a child. Loving your parents took a lot of work and a lot of time. He was speaking of the love that is to characterize those who are children of God. That love is to be complete, extending even to those who are your enemies, who hate you and spitefully use you. In this, as in all other things, you must strive to be as both the Father and the Son. I hope you take this lesson seriously. I know I have to. I'm the one who put it together. I'm the one who looked up these passages, and hopefully the things that we talked about are of benefit to you, as they were for me. Because they come from God's Word. Not because I said them. Not because I read a few passages, but because God intended for you and I to forgive. Intended for you and I to be perfected in our love. This morning, I have not talked a lot about salvation in this lesson. I've talked a lot about love and how much God loves you. I talked a lot about how we love each other and respect one another. If you are not a Christian, I can't even begin to express how much love you are missing out on. You're leaving love on the table. You're walking away from God's love and our love for one another. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life, God still loves you. He wants you to repent and confess what you have done wrong. If it's of public nature, if it's of a private nature, we can still pray with you, pray for you. It's our love and compassion and zeal for God to perfect His love in you, perfect our His love in us, ourselves, can be made whole and complete. If you're in any way subject to the gospel call of invitation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.